Case number 5 for argument this morning is United States against Brody.
Good morning. May it please the court, Mark Stone appointed counsel for Mr. Brody. The 3 points raised in our brief, 2 of which we raised for the purpose of preservation, one of them regarding the possibility that at some time the Supreme Court may change the law regarding prior convictions, and a finding by a jury from the Almendarez-Torres line of cases. I feel I should point out one item regarding that. In our brief, opening brief and reply brief, we indicate that in the absence of a defendant admitting a history or it being proved by a jury, that there is an issue concerning whether that's appropriate. On review of the trial transcript, I note that Mr. Brody, during his testimony, was asked both during direct and cross-examination regarding his history. This is in addition to the point raised by the government in its brief concerning the exchange between the district court and Mr. Brody at sentencing, and specifically for the court's ease of reference, and I would point to volume 2 of the transcript. It's August 8th, 2006 transcript, at pages 229 and apologize, I'll have to find the second reference. It's during cross-examination he was asked again. So that does modify the assertion we made in both our opening and reply brief. It does appear that Mr. Brody, in addition at the time of sentencing to saying he had no issue concerning his criminal history, may well have conceded those points during the trial testimony, both during direct and cross-examination. Now, with reference to the search in February of 2006, as we point out in our brief, we acknowledge that prior to trial, a motion to suppress the cocaine and marijuana found in a jacket at the North Temple address was not filed, and therefore we are dealing with, and I don't mean to sound flippant, but with an uphill struggle on that point in light of this court's precedents concerning waiver and forfeiture. However, we submit, as we did,
with an impossible struggle. The rule says that the issue is waived, and waiver means there's no plain error review.
Except to the extent that we submit that there was good cause, and therefore, in a sense, the first part of the two-step analysis, that is, upon a finding of good cause, then the court would be appropriately devoting its time and resources to engaging in a plain error analysis. And as we submit in our...
Still lost. The Rule 12E says that the district court may relieve a party for good cause shown. Was there any request to the district judge to relieve Brody of the waiver?
There was not.
But that leaves the waiver in place. I can certainly see an argument that had there been such a request and had the district judge said no, then we could review whether the district judge was right or not in finding that there was good cause. But if there was never any request made to the district judge, it looks like the waiver per Rule 12b-c-3 is just there. And if it's waiver, there's no plain error review.
And just that is my understanding the court may, this court may engage in that analysis.
But I don't see how. The rule says it's for the district court, and we then review claims made in the district court. You're essentially asking us to disregard the distinction between waiver and forfeiture. And Olano says that if something is waived, there can't be plain error review. In fact, that's also the holding of U.S. against Frady, which neither side's brief in this case discusses. Decision of the Supreme Court, 1982? Maybe if it's more than a generation old, we just don't pay attention to it?
No, I believe the United States did cite the Frady decision in its brief. I may be mistaken. If I am, I apologize.
Oh, but do you?
We did not, Your Honor.
Hmm.
Those are the arguments presented in our brief, and unless the panel has further questions, I'll step aside. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Struan. Ms. Ridgway.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Cynthia Ridgway. I'm an assistant U.S. attorney in the Southern District of Indiana. We echo the court's comment. Our position, the government's position here, is that Mr. Brody waived all three of the issues that he presented to this court on appeal. We would be happy to submit these issues and the government's position on our brief unless the court would have any specific issues or questions.
Waive any issue other than the suppression issue. There a rule says it's waiver. The others looked like they were forfeited rather than waived.
Our position is that the defendant waived both the argument, well, all three of the arguments. First, the one with regard to the motion to suppress. Second, with regard to the 851, and his third argument as well. And we believe that, or we base our argument on the fact that although there wasn't any direct evidence of an intentional relinquishment of that argument or that issue, we would hope that the court would look to the surrounding circumstances and determine that, in fact, here the court asked Mr. Brody or counsel or both whether or not he challenged his criminal history, and the defendant and counsel both said that he did not. And we would indicate that that is, in fact, an intentional relinquishment of the issue that the defendant now raises before this court. Unless the court has any other questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anything further, Mr. Struan? We appreciate your willingness to take the appointment. You have the court's thanks. The case is taken under advisement.